This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hello, hello, dear listeners. Welcome to She Excels. Hallelujah. Welcome to Radio K Pulpit, and I'm your host, Annie. And for those who are new, welcome. For those who have been my favorite fans, welcome back. Welcome back. This is another week that the Lord has made. And we have an amazing topic to discuss today, to talk about, to reflect. And I hope you are ready. And for those who do not know, She Excels is a program for every woman who knows she was created for more. Yeah, we call you higher. We want you to live with vision, the vision that comes from God. We want you to walk with purpose. We want you to build mastery in the area God has called you to, you know, your talent, your skills, master them so that they can help you fulfill your purpose. And we want you to shine with excellence. At She Excels, you will discover God's blueprint for true success. And that success only comes from the book. And that book is the Bible. That's our foundation. That is what gives life to this program. Amen. And I want to remind you that this is your time. As far as there is breath in your lungs, amen, and you can hear me, this is your time. This is your call. And at She Excels, we are becoming the women God designed us to be. You are becoming, you're being transformed from glory to glory, from glory to glory. And every time I will bring a topic that will help you think purpose again, think execution of purpose again, think being accountability, accountable again, everything that makes you better equipped to run after what God has called you to. I'm here to inspire you, to encourage you, to rebuke you, to challenge you, amen, to comfort you, to encourage you on this journey, this awesome journey of walking in God's purpose on your life. That is where life gets meaning. That is where you feel fulfilled, in that space of being who you were called to be, doing what you were called to do. So today we're going to be looking at another topic that has to help, that's has as a goal to help you continue on this amazing journey. Do you know God's purpose for your life? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? It's no point continuing life and doing things the way you've always done it when you don't know God's call on your life. Your life has meaning, and you need to give meaning to it. That meaning comes from God. So today we're going to be talking about how to know that God sent you, because many people are doubting. Many people don't know because, yeah, they don't know. They've not really taken time to sit down and really find out that, have I been sent by God? How do I know? What are the indicators that I'm on the right path? I'm just going to give you some indicators, and I'm going to help you begin to question yourself and find your feet and find your path, you know, so that you are not walking in error, so that you are not running after what God did not assign you to. How do I know that God sent me? And a key scripture is going to still be from John 7, 18. 16 to 18 and verse 29, as well as other scriptures that I'm going to be dwelling on today. Today we're talking about how to know that God sent you. How to know? Because it's very important to know that what you're carrying, what you're doing, what you're pouring your everything into is something that heaven is saying, yes, girl, go, go, go. Amen. It's very, very important. You know, when you have an exam, right, and you're about to write an exam on a certain topic, you act on a subject or a course. Let's say you do it biology. You need to read the biology book to be able to go write a biology exam, right? Because if you are busy reading chemistry to go write a biology exam, it's guaranteed you will fail. So it's important for you to know what God has sent you on earth to do, so that you keep doing it and you're doing the things that will lead to you fulfilling that purpose, so that you are not doing other things and expecting other results. Many of us do things that are irrelevant to our purpose, but we're expecting to fulfill it. It doesn't go that way. You need to make sure that whatever you're doing right now is adding up, is building, gathering momentum, is pushing whatever God has called you to do forward. You know, relevant actions that speaks to that thing. that gets you going with God's call and God's purpose for your life. So let's go back to the foundation, to the very beginning. Let's start with that truth that the first thing you need to do is that you need to know God. So before you're sent by God, you must know God first. Amen. The knowing of him who sent you, the knowing of the commissioner, the one who commissioned you, the knowing of him who created you, the manufacturer, the one who said, I know why I created this lady. I know why she's here. It is because of what I want her to do. That's why I created her. So there's first of all, the knowing of God. Jesus said it in that scripture we have been dwelling on, John 7:29. Say, but I know him because I came from him and he sent me to you. I know him. The knowledge, the relationship the Lord had with the Father is what birthed the doing. The first of all, there is a relationship. I know him. I know him. So notice the order that Jesus Christ said. Notice the order as he made that statement. So Jesus said, I know the Father. So I know the Father. And because he knew the Father, he was confident that he was sent by the Father. So when you say, I want to know what the call of God on my life is, the first question I will ask you is, do you know him? You cannot skip the relationship and go to the assignment, because you need to be in tune with the one who sent you so that you do exactly what he has asked you to do. The person that comes to mind right now is Moses. You know, Moses had to spend a lot of time alone with God, so that he gets acquainted with this God, receive the assignment from this God, and go and give to the people. Moses would have failed woefully if he had not gone to God to receive what the people needed. So there was that intimacy, private time with God that built Moses up to know. Remember he asked the Lord when the Lord was sending him to go deliver the Israelites, you know, in the burning bush. He said, who will I tell them sent me? Because see, I need to know who is sending me, so that when I tell them, I'm also confident about who sent me. Who will I tell them sent me? So it's important that you make sure that you don't put the cart before the horse. The relationship is important. You cannot skip that, you know, because God will send people that he knows, people that he has had an encounter with them. Every time a man has an encounter with God, the man gets given an assignment to go do for God. You know, when he came to Jeremiah and say, Jeremiah, I want you to go give this message to the Israelites. And then Jeremiah was like, not me, not me. He says, no, before you were conceived, I knew you, I formed you, and I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations, right? So the Lord had to be with Jeremiah alone, encounter him, speak to him, even before Mary had the privilege of birthing Jesus. She had to have an encounter with the angel sent by God to give her the message. There is something about you and your maker that you need to build for you to be able to say you're doing anything for him. Because the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, some people will come and say, Lord, Lord, I did this for you. I healed the sick, I raised the dead. Then Jesus will say, well, depart from me, for I do not know you. I do not know you. Does God know you? Stop working for God when you don't have a relationship with him. Because those are the kind of works that will be burned by the fire. We want to present the work we've done for the Lord before him, and it should stand. If your work is going to be burned by fire, I can tell you why. The knowing was missing. The relationship was missing. When God created Adam and Eve, he wanted to come. He came to the garden every time to commune with them. He had given them an assignment, but the key thing was that communion. That is why when they sinned against him, he had to take them out of his presence. And when he took them out of his presence, fulfilling his purpose for their lives became difficult. They had to sweat. Because what keeps you alive in carrying out God's assignment for your life is your relationship with God, because that's your powerhouse. That is your place of instruction. That is a place of commissioning. That is a place of gaining clarity. That is a place of receiving strength and fueling up to go again the next mile. That is a place of sharpening, of equipping, of rebuking your relationship with God. God will send people who love him. He will send people who listen to him. He will send people who fear him. He will send people who value his presence. Hallelujah. Are you that woman? Do you love him? Do you listen to him? Do you fear him? Do you value his presence above everything, above activities? Many of us are busy, busy, busy. We are busy bees doing this, having this conference, having this show, having this book, having this thing, this ministry, that good. But when it is not founded on the knowledge of God, he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. How? I heal the sick. Why are you saying workers of the iniquity? I casted out demons. Now you call me workers of iniquity? The greatest iniquity is the iniquity of not being in a relationship with God and prioritizing works over intimacy. Think about that. So purpose grows out of a relationship with God. Purpose grows out of a relationship with God. You know, when God told Saul that he was going to be king through the anointing of Samuel, and then Saul started disobeying God, God tore the kingdom away from him. I cannot assign you to lead my people when you're not in fellowship with me because you're disobedient. So when sin comes in, it corrupts purpose. It makes it not relevant. God is not interested in so many activities you're doing. God is interested in you being in a relationship with him first. With me being a relationship, in a relationship with him first. So let me read the scripture in John 15 verse 5. Jesus Christ said, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Think about that. Think about that. The branch cannot produce by itself. It must remain connected to the vine. Amen. So in the same way, our purpose flows from our connection to Christ. So the first question every woman under the sound of my voice must answer is not, what is my purpose? The first question is, do I know God? Because when you walk closely with God, he begins to reveal your assignment. It was during the times that Moses spent with God that God gave him instructions and told him what to do, what not to do, how to do. Amen. Even Jesus Christ said, "I only do what I see my Father do, and I say what I hear him say." How will he hear if he doesn't go to where God is? How would you hear if you don't frequent his presence? We cannot fulfill the purposes of God on our lives when we are separated from the God who sent us. So one way to know your purpose from God is to be in a relationship with God. If you've not given your heart to Jesus, that is the place to start. Give your heart to Jesus. Say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me your child. Today I establish you. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior." That's amazing. That's a beginning. God will not use a woman who is pursuing sin and loves what she's doing that does not bring glory to God, but is very okay. We said, "I'm working for God." No. The question you should ask yourself again is not, what is my purpose? The question is, do I truly know God? Because walking close to God is what will guarantee the fruitfulness of your assignment. Like Jesus Christ said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So you need to know me. So we need to know Jesus. Amen. Reflect on that. What questions are you asking about your purpose? Is the first question, do I truly know God? If that is not it, you need to get back to that question and make sure you settle it with God, that you know him, the only true God, and Jesus, whom he sent. Amen. We are talking about, how do I know I was sent by God? How do I know that God sent me? This is a very important question because many people are in doubt. I'm not sure. And I said in our first session that you need to have a heart that wants to know God. We talked about the fact that the Lord will send people who love him, who listen to him, who fear him, and who value his presence more than activities that they do for him. So you need to settle that. I know God. That is how you know God sent you, that you are concerned about knowing God. You are first and foremost a child of God, a daughter of God, a lover of God, before you're like, Lord, what can I do for you? You have encounters with God. You spend time in his presence. You want to know him more. You want to be more like him. You want to be transformed, you know, daily being moving from one stage of glory to the other as you become like Jesus. That's your concern, because God will not send anybody who is not prioritizing that. Amen. So if your knowing of God is priority, is something that comes first for you, you are on the right path. Amen. You are on the right path. The next thing that I want to talk about is that the next truth that is so important that we need to focus on is that you love the will of God. You desire the will of God above all else. Amen. So that's one other sign to know that you're sent by God. You have a heart that desires to do the will of God. You don't want to be in disobedience to God. You don't want to do your own thing. It's all about, Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I will do. In John 7:17, Jesus says something very powerful. He says, anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. So Jesus is saying that the will of God is so important to a woman of God. You know, you need to desire the will of God. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teachings are from God. So you're settling in your heart that your heart desires to do the will of God. You know, Jesus does not say knowing comes first. What did he say? He says desire to do God's will comes first. I have a desire. Knowing God's purpose for my life does not come first. Desiring to do the will of God comes first. Because if you know it, but you don't desire, you will never do it, right? You will never do it. So the first thing is desire. You know, many a times I realize that when I desire something, I go for it. When I think about, say, I want to eat ice cream. When I think about ice cream and I desire it, chances are that if I see where I can buy one, I will stop to buy one. Why? Because a desire was birthed first. So desire is what should come before the knowing of what it is that I must do. Because when I desire it, when I did and I know it, I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. So many people want clarity about their calling, but they have not settled in their hearts that they are going to obey God, that they are willing to obey God, that they are putting their lives out to obey God. When God encountered Paul at the time he was Saul and knocked him off his horse, then the first question Paul asked was, what do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do, Lord? But before that question, it means there was already a desire in his heart. And you could see as things followed after that, he waited for 3 days in prayer, and Ananias came and helped him, healed him, and he could see again. And from that time, he just went to follow God. He went to do what God wanted him to do, because there was already that desire, the waiting for 3 days. I'm waiting. I'm not going to do all the things I want to do. I just want to wait. You know, I desire to know what will please God. What would you want me to do, Lord? Very, very important, you know. But when your heart says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do, that is when your heart is really, really ready for what God will assign you to. Amen. And God will begin to guide your steps, and God will begin to lead you. And that can be confirmed in Matthew 6, you know, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. When something becomes above all else, it means it's your primary desire. I'm seeking the kingdom of God above all else. I desire to see the kingdom of God advance above all else. These are the signs to show that you are sent by God, because you desire the things of God. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That's Matthew 6:33. So when your heart seeks God's kingdom first, something powerful begins to happen. Your passions begin to align with the word of God. The scripture begins to come alive to you. You know, one of the things that I have realized is that the more I spend time with God, the more my heart is ready to do things for God, even when they are difficult, even when they are hard, because I desire His will. But the less I spend time with God, the less I want to do things for God, the more I realize that it's difficult and I have excuses. Oh, no, I can't. It's difficult. There's a lion in the road. You know, I don't have the right resources. I don't have the right connections. I don't have the money. And all these excuses come. Why? Because desire is gone. And how is desire fed? It's fed by spending time with the Lord. So the more time you spend with the Lord, the more you get to know Him, the more you get to know Him, the more you get to desire the things that pleases Him, you know, and you move on from there to doing it effortlessly, you know, even when it is hard, even when it is hard. So what else would God do? God will start laying on your heart burdens that He has. Remember the scripture that has just come to mind, Matthew chapter 11 from verse 28, I think so, yeah. When the Lord is saying, come all unto me, all ye who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is light and easy. He first said, come to me. Come to me. Build a relationship with me. Know me. Then I'll put on you my own yoke. It's light and easy. I'll make you desire the things that, you know, I want to do. The Bible says God is working in us both to will and to do according to His good pleasures, right? So it's important for us to be with God, to spend time with God, so that He will remove all our hearts of stone and make it a heart of flesh and make it malleable, ready for any time and anything He's asking us to do, because the desire has been birthed from the place of intimacy. Very, very important. And then He begins to shape that assignment in your heart and begin to shape it in your life. Moses, for example, spent time taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law, and he was committed to doing that. He was committed to making sure that they go and get food, and then he takes them back home, he gives them water, and so on. He was committed. Even the time God met him, he was alone, you know, in the wilderness with the sheep, trying to give them what they need. Then he will later maybe take them back home, and God met him there. So while God met him there in that place, God was building that relationship with him. God was sharing with him his heart. I've heard the cries of the people, you know, of Israel who are in Egypt. They're under slavery and I need somebody to go to help them. When God sent Moses, Moses left the thing that he used to give himself to and started doing what God wanted him to do. Just like that. Why? Because of the encounter. Changed his heart, made him to go back to the country he ran away from, made him to become so concerned about the people of Israel, where he was really ready to die for them and say, Lord, take me, allow them, they've done wrong, but please just take me. When did this all happen, where you left from tending sheep to being so caught up with the deliverance of the Israelites and ready to die for them? Desire was birthed in Moses' heart from a place of intimacy, relationship with God, getting to hear God's heart and getting to be, to say, okay, Lord, I will go for you. I'll go for you. It's difficult to go for God when you have not yet established the knowing of God and the desire that builds in your heart to do whatever He asks you to do. And so your calling is not just about what you like. It is about what God wants to accomplish through you. And God will create that desire to will and to do. He will create it. Allow God. Some of us say, well, I don't want to do the things of God. I don't feel, you know, what you need to get that activated. Spend time with God. The more you spend time with God, the more He will walk in your heart, both the desire to will and to do. So desire is important. And it is not gotten from you running after everything outside. It's gotten from you going to the quiet place, the sacred place, and allow God to put His own yoke upon you, to take what you are bearing, what you're carrying that is weighing you down, that is making you depressed and sad, and He's going to put what will bring life back to you, the desire to do His will, because He's walking in you. So these are two things that I've just shared that shows you that are signs that you were sent by God. You love Him, you desire to do His will, are not yours. How do I know that God has sent me? It's easy to err, it's easy to be in error, but you can deal with that fear by some signs that will confirm that whatever it is you're busy with, it's of God. So we talked about the first thing is that you as a person need to know God. You should be that woman who loves God. You should be that woman who has a deep personal relationship with God. Then we can guarantee that whatever you will do will come from God. Another sign we talked about was the desire to do the will of God. When you have a desire to do the will of God, it's so strong. You are that woman who has surrendered your own works before at his feet. As Matthew 11:28 says, bring all those things that you're carrying, and you've taken up his own work. You are desiring to do what God wants you to do. Those are signs that whatever will come out of your life will be is definitely something that will be in line with what God has called you to. Because from my own personal experience, God has spoken to me most often in my quiet place, in my secret place, in my place of prayer. When I'm in the Word, he's giving me clear directions. It's when I'm communing with him that desire to do things are birthed, and the boldness to step out even when it looks difficult is it's birth. So you need those two confirmations. We're going to talk about more in this our last segment of the show. So the next thing that you need is the inner witness inside of you. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will confirm that you've been sent by God. You know, when Jesus left, was about to leave, he told the disciples, wait here, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a helper who will guide you into all truths. That inner whispers, those inner whispers, that inside confirmation that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you cannot have that when you don't have a relationship with God, when you've not given your heart to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. And the Holy Spirit confirms God's truth about your life inside of you. So it's very important to know that one of the signs that you have been sent by God is that you have a walking relationship with a person, with the Holy Spirit. You have you're not grieving the Holy Spirit. You've been led by the Spirit of God. There's a scripture in Galatians 5. It says, be led by the Spirit of God. When you allow the Spirit of God to work out God's will through you, he's the mission director. You know, he leads you. He tells you. Jesus was like, hey, you guys should wait. Don't move. Don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen. And I pray that you'll be full of the Holy Spirit right now as I speak, that the Holy Spirit will descend on you right now. Fill your heart, you know, to a point of overflow. We need the Holy Spirit in great measure, because that is the one who has been sent to you to help you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. You need that inner confirmation, that inner witness that is inside of you. The Bible says in Romans 8:16, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to confirm that we are children of God. There is confirmation from within that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit is very important. If you're not feeling that witness within you, then wait. Go and wait. Like Jesus told his disciples, wait. Let the Holy Spirit come over you. And every day ask for the Lord to just fill you afresh. You know, when we go about the day, we do so many things, it leaks, we get depleted of our cup, the cup of the Holy Spirit within us, and we need to fill up. And you fill up in the presence of God. You fill up and you say, Lord Jesus, fill me afresh. Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. As he fills you up, you find yourself walking in the direction of his leadership, because you're giving him room to walk through you. So that inner confirmation is very, very important, you know, because when the Holy Spirit confirms things in you and brings about that knowing, you know, even when the road is difficult, you will go. Even when you feel stretched, you will go. Something inside you will keep saying, this is what God has called me to do. That inner witness keeps you anchored. you know, keeps you anchored. When I'm reading the word of God, okay, my Bible is in English. These are letters, normal alphabets, you know, used to craft sentences. But because it's a word of God, when I read it and by the help of the Holy Spirit, it becomes life. The Holy Spirit brings to life the English words I'm reading in the scripture. So you need that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that weakness from within you that says, this is what God has called you to do. Another sign to know that you are doing what God has sent you to do is that whatever you're doing is blessing people. I always say that the tree does not eat its fruit. Others benefit from the fruit that comes from a tree. The tree is bearing fruit for others. You are so people oriented. You are so committed to the people God has called you to serve. You believe you carry something they need, and you're dishing that out to them every time. You're bearing fruit for others who need what you carry to be blessed. So your work is a blessing to people. Let us read a scripture here. Jesus Christ said in Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. If you read the list of these things, none of them, Jesus was not suffering from any of them. Amen. Jesus was not in captivity, but he has come to release those who are in captivity. Jesus was not blind, but he has come to make those who are blind to see. Jesus was not oppressed, but he has come to help the oppressed to be set free. So everything Jesus came to do was for me and you, to help us. It's about the people. It blesses people. But what did he say? He said he was anointed for that. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring this good news that sets captives free, that makes the blind to see, that makes the oppressed to go free. All of this is external. It's not him. By himself, he did not need to die for anything. He was righteous. He lived a righteous life. He's a righteous God, right? He's a just God. He's not sick. He's not handicapped. He's not demon possessed. He's not. Everything Jesus did was for me and you. So God will always assign you to go help other people. Moses assigned to go deliver the Israelites from slavery. Jeremiah assigned as a prophet to the nation to tell them the truth. David anointed to lead the nation of Israel, the people. Joseph sent to go and preserve the nation of Israel, that at that time the tribe of Jacob, from being wiped out because of famine. So that when their brothers were afraid that he would do something to harm them, when he realized that this was his purpose, that he was what you meant for bad, God meant for good. Because he was not seeing the good about him. Oh, now I'm a second in command in Egypt. No, I see that I have come here and I've been able to save nations, and including the nation that has to be birthed from Jacob. So it's all about people, people, people. It blesses people. It takes the eyes of you to other people. When what you're doing is me, myself, and I, and you're looking for your comfort, you're looking for your glory, you're looking for how, what do I get from this, you know, then I'm telling you that it might not be God. You might be doing work for yourself. You're not working for the King. So it blesses people. So the Holy Spirit comes to activate, to propel you forward to do what God called you to do. And Jesus gave it here as an example in the scripture in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. You've been anointed to bring good news to people who need what you carry, who need your fruit. The people, the people, the people. Amen. So every calling has an anointing. Every calling has a message. And every calling has people who will benefit from it. Are you anointed to do what you're called to do? Anointing is something that comes upon you and makes you do things without too much effort. You are graced for it. You are able. Why others will sweat to do it, you just do it. Why? Because you've been anointed for that. The anointing breaks yoke. The anointing makes difficult things easy to do, easy to say, you know, easy to carry. So you need to be anointed to be able to do God's work. Without Jesus, You can do nothing. Apart from him, there is nothing that is going to come out of your life. So these are some of the signs that make you know that God has called you. Amen. So when God sends you, your life begins to lift people up. Your work gives hope, brings clarity, solves problems, and points people back to God. John 7:18 says, those who speak for themselves want glory for themselves, but a person who seeks to honor the one who sent him speaks the truth. Amen. So the final test is that you are not seeking glory for yourself. It is about God's glory, and that is when you can say confidently, I know him who sent me. I know him who sent me. So these are some of the pointers that confirms that you've been sent by God. For those who are just tuning in, you've not missed out. We are on the show She Excels, and I'm just wrapping up this session, and my heart is glad to know that there are women out there who want to be sure that what they are running with is from God. And we've been given some pointers, some signs that shows that whatever you're busy with could be from God. This is not exhaustive. This is not the final thing. I'm just giving you guidelines. You need to go to God for yourself and really validate things. But for my own personal walk with God and being one called to help people run after their purpose, find full and fulfill it, there are certain things I've come to see that is a thread that runs through. And I just want to recap on that for those who are just joining so that you don't miss out on anything. So the first thing we talked about that is a sign that you were sent from God is that you have a relationship with God, because God sends those who walk with him. Amen. And we took that from John 7:29, where Jesus Christ said, I know him because I come from him and he sent me. The knowing of God, intimacy with God. The second one we talked about was that you desire to do God's will. Amen. And that was John 7:17 that says, everyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God. So before you say I have a teaching, I have a desire to know what God wants for me to do. So desire for God's will. Anything he says, I will go. So when your heart says, Lord, I want your will, that's where clarity begins to come. The next sign that shows that you are actually busy with something that is dear to the heart of God is that it bears fruit, fruit that blesses people. Amen. And we saw that in Luke 4:18 when Jesus was speaking about him being anointed by the Holy Spirit to do good, to bring good news. And the good news was for the poor, you know, bring good news to the captives, freeing the captives, bringing good news to the poor, you know, healing the brokenhearted, restoring hope, and all those things. I'm just paraphrasing and putting them in different words. So a divine assignment always brings life to others. What you're doing is just about me, myself, and I, or it brings life to others. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. God is interested in man's freedom, man's salvation, man's upliftment, man's prosperity, man's multiplication, man's fruitfulness. So if it's about other people, remember your fruit is not for you, it's for those you are sent to. The next thing that we say will confirm that you are sent by God is the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Like Jesus told his disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them before they go out to start doing the work of God. The Holy Spirit is an inner witness that God has sent you. He created you for a purpose. Amen. So the Holy Spirit gives you a quiet but powerful conviction. Romans 8:16 says, for the Spirit joins with our spirit to confirm that we are sons of God, we are children of God. So even when challenges come, even when things are difficult, that inner knowing remains and you have peace about it. Another thing that you need to know is that you have peace about what you are doing. The final thing we talked about was that it brings glory to God and not to you. Glory to God. Is that your purpose? Is that your concern? That I want God to gain glory, because Jesus Christ said in John 17:4, I have brought you glory by completing. So a desire to bring glory to God. Whatever you are doing points people back to God. Amen. So as we wrap up, I just want to make a prayer for you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for every woman listening to me today. Thank you that you are a God who calls, equips, and sends your children with purpose. Lord, I pray that you will awaken clarity in the hearts of your daughters. Draw them closer into a deep relationship with you so that they may know your voice and walk confidently in your will. Holy Spirit, confirm their calling within them. Remove fear, confusion, and the need for human approval. Give them the boldness to live for your glory and to serve the people you have called them to. May their lives bear fruit that blesses many and brings glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us at She Excels today. And our message was how to know that God sent me. And if you have been blessed, please share. We'd like to know what was your takeaway today. And you can do that on our WhatsApp number 0817291657. That number again, 0817291657. But if you are comfortable with email, you can go ahead and send us an email on at info@capepulpit.co.za. That is info@capepulpit.co.za. I can't wait to hear from you. And I want you to know that you were created with a purpose, designed for impact, and you were called to shine. This is She Excels, becoming the woman God designed you to be. Until next time, bye-bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.